Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and Buck92.com. Welcome to Central Michigan's award-winning sports destination, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, winner of Best Podcast from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is your home for everything local, everything competitive, and everything that matters in Central Michigan sports. From Friday Night Lights to hardwood battles, from high school standouts to the stories behind the teams, you're getting the best sports coverage anywhere. Now, welcome to what many call the best sports show ever for Central Michigan high school athletes. All Things Sports with your host, JW, and Buck 92.3 Sports Director, Austin Shattuck. Let's dive in.
Monday night has finally reached us here in the Isabella County area, which means one thing, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. I'm Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com, where country legends live. You're hearing the voice of Austin Shattuck, your sports director, joined alongside me as always, sitting across from me, JW in the morning. Jeremy, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, what a fantastic day out there right now.
Yeah, not as good as last Monday when we had like high 60s today.
Little chilly.
I guess I shouldn't say chilly, minus the wind.
Yeah.
So that was always good today, walking into work.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's nice out there. It's getting closer to the nice time of the year with spring and water everywhere, though. We've had so much rain the last week. It's been crazy. But, hey, it's time for sports, and we're going to talk a little Michigan-UConn and have some fun with that because both of teams are playing fantastic basketball.
Yeah.
Both great coaches. Both great teams, and it's just going to be a fun one to watch tonight.
Jeremy, I have a question for you, and there is a right answer for this. It's either a 50-50 chance. It's UConn or Michigan, but out of these two teams, which team is trending in the positive direction right now in college basketball?
I would say UConn, just because I want Michigan to win, of course, but I would say UConn's trending just because, you know, they beat Duke, and They shouldn't have been this far. I mean, but Dan Hurley's a heck of a coach, and UConn's a heck of a team. And it's funny because I forget the kid's name that's on UConn, but he played at Michigan 2 years ago.
Terrace Reed Jr.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, so it's kind of neat that he's still been communicating with the couple guys, Burnett, and I forget the...
Will Cheddar.
Yeah,
for Michigan.
For Michigan. And just kind of been hanging out and talking with them, you know, throughout the whole tournament. So it's pretty neat to kind of see the inside of that.
Yeah, and that's a great answer. I would give that a ding, ding, ding. You got that answer correct. Just because, like you said, the championship DNA for Coach Dan Hurley and UConn, two of the last three seasons, they've won it all. They've cut down the nets in whatever city or whatever site is hosting the national champion this year. Just happens to be in Indianapolis and Indy, or as many people say. And they have a chance to cut down the nets later on. I would say in about an hour and 50 minutes or so from now, we'll tip this thing off between the Michigan Wolverines and the UConn Huskies. And UConn, like I said, they have a chance. I don't think they're as a complete team as the Arizona Wildcats were, but
no.
Michigan, it doesn't matter with them. They put BTA to anybody, it seems this whole tournament. Now, five games, they're the only team in program history to score 90-plus points.
Well, and that's what I was really confused about. Not really confused, but dumbfounded about, is because all those John Wooden teams from UCLA and all them teams that were just dominating back in the 70s and all that, they didn't score 100, or, you know, like at least 90 points throughout the whole tournament.
Maybe they were just defense. I don't know.
I don't know. And that's, Michigan's the first team ever to score over 90 points in every game that they've played in the NCAA tournament this year.
Yeah, and I second that. I look at Florida from last year, when they had like that dominating backcourt, dominating frontcourt as well, but Elijah Martin, all those guards that are now in the NBA on that Florida Gators team, and they had a young coach in Todd Golden, kind of like Dusty May, like the blueprint of last year's champion, the Florida Gators, to this year's potential champion in the Michigan Wolverines is very similar.
Well, it's crazy. Dusty May turned the team around in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get the transfer portal and all that is a big reason for it, but still, to put, you know, a group of kids together that haven't played together, and put them together, and now you're in the national championship in 2 years. I mean, it's crazy just to think about that.
Yeah, and for Adai Mara, maybe their best player besides Lendeborg, and you can even start with Lendeborg, which I will start with, Yaxel Lendeborg from Michigan, their power forward, starting power forward, coming over from UAB. I think this is like his fourth or fifth year in college. Yeah. Either way, he's an upperclassman. But Dusty May, that was probably the biggest get, not only on the Michigan Wolverines basketball side, but in the whole landscape of college basketball this over the summer in the transfer portal, probably the one number one transfer portal get going to Ann Arbor. And then maybe not far behind him, you know, Adai Mara from UCLA, a Big Ten school or a Big Ten player going to another Big Ten team in the Michigan Wolverines, UCLA, obviously moving over to the Big Ten from the Pac-12 just a couple of years ago. And he didn't get very many minutes for Mick Cronin and the UCLA Bruins just last year. This year, Dusty May saw him. He molded him into the guy that he wanted to be. I mean, it's pretty easy to be a 7'3" center or whatever his height is, and just dominate. You know, something that I saw in that Arizona game on Saturday night is, I don't know if you caught this, Jeremy, but it was literally the first play. Elliot Cadeau driving on the right side, threw it off the backboard, and Adai Mara just didn't even have to jump. He put it in. But that was like the play coaching style that Dusty May preached to his team throughout the week, is just to throw it off the backboard and let Mara just jump up and get it and slam it home.
Yeah. Well, and what was crazy about Saturday night is Lendeborg was two fouls in first minute and a half.
Yeah.
So Dusty May set him down. And he come back in, and it was a matter of minutes, and he rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
And so he was done the whole first half. He played, what, 15 minutes, scored 11 points. And a lot of them asked Dusty May, why did you put him back in? He's like, didn't you see the UConn-Duke game? Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, we didn't want to have that happen to us. So, you know, he knows what he's doing. And I think a lot of people, too, on Saturday night, seen him out there sitting courtside scouting the UConn Illinois game. Well, he already knew Illinois, so he was basically scouting UConn during the first half. You don't ever see a coach do that during the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Not publicly. Yeah, they might be sitting back watching in the background or whatever, but
yeah.
Dusty May was sitting courtside and checking out UConn.
Yeah, and ring, ring, ring. I mean, Wolverines playing Huskies tonight, so hopefully he got that extra studying in, because Coach Hurley, he probably did the same thing that Dusty May did for the Michigan-Arizona game. He's probably sat courtside or sat in the back scouting out the Michigan Wolverines.
Watching a TV somewhere. And another neat thing during the game there, the Fab Five. I watched the telecast of the Fab Five. I didn't watch the normal telecast. I watched the Fab Five telecast, which was fun to do. And because I remember those guys playing, you know, I remember growing up watching them play and all that. Michigan picked up a 5-star recruit that night. Brandon McCoy Jr. out of Santa Clara, I do believe, is where he was.
California area.
And 5-star recruit guard. So, Dusty May's still working during the tournament. So it's pretty neat to see how Michigan's, you know, still building towards the future as well.
Yeah, and that's kind of a counterpoint, like a big counterpoint to our question that I proposed to you earlier to open the show, is what team is trending in the right direction in the positive way? They both are, but maybe Michigan kind of just leapfrogged UConn a little bit. And not only UConn, but the entire Big Ten with another 5-star recruit. Before that 5-star recruit recruited to Michigan, Michigan already had like a third in the whole entire nation in a recruiting class for next season. Tom Izzo is just ahead of him, though, at second, I believe. Maybe even first. I'm not sure. I'd have to fact check myself on that one. But either way.
Either way, the Big Ten is just rolling in college basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bummer because they beat up on each other all season just to, you know, to see who's going to be the Big Ten champ, of course. But then they get into the tournament, and then, you know, it's like, okay, so, like, you and I, we did our brackets this year. I told you, I picked a lot of Big Ten teams just because I'm a Big Ten homer, you know? So, you know, that's the way I look at it. But it's nice to see the Big Ten's rolling in basketball, and football's turning around now, too, for the whole Big Ten conference. So, and Michigan's in the Frozen Four coming up. April 9th, I do believe, is when the Frozen Four plays. So
later this week.
Yeah, so it's neat to see the state of Michigan in general is rolling in college sports. You know, whether it's Division II, Division I, Division III. You know, Alma College is rolling down there with football, and Fair State's whooping everyone in Division II. You know, so it's neat to see how the college sports is rolling here in Michigan.
Yeah, and we could see our first Big Ten team since the 2000 season in Michigan State win the national championship tonight if Michigan were to get past UConn tonight. And speaking of a team or a matchup that we'll see for the first time this season is the Great Lakes Loons. They're traveling down to Grand Rapids to play the West Michigan Whitecaps starting up this week, and that is an easy prop to bring in John Vicari, the radio voice of the Great Lakes Loons, and he's coming up next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
The best sports show in Central Michigan, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and streaming at buck92.com, continues next in just minutes.
Do you want some extra money?
Everybody needs more money.
Well, if you have woods or standing timber, Kevin Clare Logging can turn your timber into cash. To get started, call Kevin Clare Logging at 989-621-5953. Kevin Clare Logging, a proud supporter of local high school sports.
iRide would like to deliver a big thank you to our amazing community. Because of your support in renewing the millage, they're ready to keep our buses running smoothly and improve your daily commute. Your vote shows that you care about staying connected and moving forward together.
Gambling can be fun.
Here we go.
Kind of like skydiving. The thrill, the excitement. But be careful, or gambling will start to feel like skydiving without a parachute. For tips that will help keep you out of harm's way, go to don'tregretthebet.org. A message from the Michigan Gaming Control Board. Have a gambling problem? Call the National Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, streaming on Buck 92.3 and buck92.com. Hosted by sports director Austin Shattuck and JW, let's dive back into Central Michigan sports.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Austin Shattuck, your sports director, joined alongside me as always, sitting right across me, JW in the morning, Mr. Jeremy Wood. And this week's guest is none other than the play-by-play radio voice for the Great Lakes Loons entering his fourth season, Mr. John Vicari. John, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice, getting ready for a Loon season. Three games already wrapped up, airing on Monday night against the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Looking forward to another 132-game season, hearing your voice, Brad Tunney, the other voice for the Great Lakes Loons on the radio side, and 100.9 The Mitt. But before we dive into kind of your career with the Great Lakes Loons, let's start right at ground zero, where you graduated from Ithaca College in New York, getting some experience in broadcasting. Why was Ithaca maybe the right choice for you at that time?
Yeah, so I mean, just for context, I grew up in Queens, New York. So for me, it was a school that gave me the opportunity to go away, but also be within, I guess, a reasonable driving distance. It was only about, you know, 4.5 hours away upstate. And I, you know, what drew me to Ithaca was the fact that they had a good alumni base, so networking opportunities, but also the opportunity to get started right away. Other schools that I looked at, you know, didn't really afford me that opportunity, or it was all right, you'll, you know, get started your sophomore year, you have to do this or that. Ithaca kind of, you get your feet wet very quickly. I mean, the first week I was on campus, I was doing, you know, like pregame, halftime, and postgame for women's soccer game on radio, you know, and that was, again, like, I don't think I even had a class under my belt at that point as a freshman, and then got to do like play-by-play of a field hockey game in October of that year. And then it just obviously expanded throughout my 4 years. But I enjoyed Ithaca. I enjoyed the people. And I looked everywhere for college. I didn't look at CMU. I did look at Ball State in terms of Midwest schools and Northwestern. But yeah, for Ithaca, it just made the most sense financially, and it was close enough, and it was a fun 4 years.
Yeah, and it certainly has paid off, because, you know, look at you now. You've made your way through the ranks, and now you're here in Midland with the Great Lakes Loons. And after graduation, you hopped around the world of baseball with the Wisconsin Rapid Rafters and Lake County, of course, and now in Midland with the Loons. Why is it kind of a necessity for a broadcaster to get all these experiences from different teams on air?
I mean, it's not. I mean, I think it helped separate me. I actually did a team that's now defunct, the Albany Dutchmen, as my first job in college, and then Wisconsin Rapids, which was a team in the Northwoods League, and then that led to the Lake County position. I don't think it's necessary. It made me a better broadcaster, and you'll learn some things from kind of living on your own, traveling with the team, because as you know, because you've covered, you know, college sports at Central Michigan, you're embedded with the team, but not the whole year. You may travel with them depending on if you go to road games and stuff like that, but you kind of live with the baseball team in a way where it's like, all right, you're going on the road, you have to get to the ballpark at the same time, and then all the other hats that you have to wear, you know, no job unless you get to the major league level with baseball specifically is just the broadcasting aspect of it. In college, yeah, you don't have to worry about the sports information director side of it, the game notes side of it, any of that. You're just kind of showing up for the TV station or student radio station and calling the game. The baseball experiences that I had, you had to learn, yeah, you got to wear multiple hats, you got to kind of, you know, do everything. And then that translated better when I got to Lake County and then eventually Great Lakes, having that experience, being able to do multiple things. And like today, I mean, you know, we're recording this, you know, before Monday. So Monday's like an off day for me, which is nice. But, you know, 2 days before the season, I have to conduct a media day with outlets that are coming to interview players. We'll do a meet the team event with our fans tonight that I'll have a role in. And then afterwards, preparing for the season, where ideally it'd be nice just to, all right, I'm just doing information in terms of researching these guys, talking to them, and that's it. I have to do a lot of other stuff today, 2 days out before our season starts. And I definitely learned those in those collegiate summer leagues, which are so valuable. They're, I mean, not to go on a soapbox with it in terms of how they are in the modern day with the NIL, I don't think the players value them as much. It doesn't necessarily get them on radars now. The goal for these players now is if you're not happy at your current school, go there, make a name for yourself. And honestly, you know, you hit it off with a buddy that's like, hey, you should come to my school. That's how it happens. And there's, you know, not tampering, but there's a lot of to be gained in those collegiate leagues for those players of potentially moving up and, you know, making a splash. But then once they solidify their next plans, if they are, you know, wanting to move on from another school, they're just going to leave the league, which, hey, I don't blame them. You know, there's not a, oh, we got to win the championship in the Northwoods League or the Cape Cod League or anything like that. But it's a lot different in the NIL era. The one thing that at least remains the same is that it's valuable reps at any level, at any league for a young broadcaster.
Yeah, and it's all about, especially as a young broadcaster myself, it's all essentially about those reps when you get on air. So you can, the least stressful reps in college level opposed to like at CMU, opposed to like Michigan or Michigan State, when you're getting those less stressful reps when somebody's not going to essentially tune into a Central Michigan game opposed to a Michigan game. So it's essentially all about getting those reps on air before you move to those big time, more stressful roles like you're in with the Great Lakes Loons.
Yeah, absolutely.
And alongside of being one of two voices with Brad Tunney, like I mentioned earlier, you're pretty much the voice of 100.9, the Mitts High School Athletic Broadcast. I know you got to broadcast Freeland's run to the state championship on the boys' side, but with your winter sport, your fall sports, can you fill us in on some of those star-studded basketball, football games you got to call this year on 100.9, the Mitt?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I know you guys do a lot of the Mount Pleasant stuff, and you guys do a great job too. But we try and, you know, get the whole Great Lakes Bay region. And this year it was a lot of fun, a lot of talent on the girls' side, despite, you know, no regional championships. It's just like, you know, a tough region that they're kind of in. Like the talent from the girls' level in the region is so strong, and then very close to the region, you know, Rockford, Muskegon, of how they, you know, kind of bracket them. Those are teams that always make Breslin appearances. So it's kind of tough for the Midlands and the Heritages of the world. They're getting the district championships tough enough to, you know, I mean, you look at the Mount Pleasant game for Midland too. That could have been a regional final elsewhere as a district semifinal based on how talented the SVL was from the girls' basketball ranks. But yeah, we try and do as many broadcasts as we can to cover a region that's a lot of fun. Like that's the main takeaway for me. I mentioned earlier in the interview that I grew up in Queens, New York, and we had a lot of boys' basketball talent, but in terms of like the pageantry of football games out here, the bands, really the buy-in from like the communities around here, you don't really get that in New York because there's all these pro sports. High school is just not on that pedestal. Again, boys basketball has a lot of talent, D1 colleges, but that's kind of it. There's not the homecoming games. There's not the, at least I didn't experience it in high school to the extent that it is around here. And it's fun to showcase because these kids work really hard. It leads to good content for us because they're a lot of fun. And it was, again, in terms of highlighting specific teams this year. Freeland boys, that was the expectation all season to get to the Breslin, and it was so cool to see all of them return and buy in for a senior season, and guys that have played together since they were in like third grade finishing with a state championship. Because, like, you know, that's the fun thing. Like, they're all going to go separate ways in college, and only some of them are going to play, you know, even sports in college. That was the last chance. There wasn't, you know, next year coming. They might play in a community center or a rec league in a couple of years post-college or what have you. But, like, in terms of, you know, the granddaddy of them all in terms of in the high school basketball ranks, it was to win a state championship in their senior year, and they came so close the year before. So to get it done was really cool to see. And then football, it's a lot of fun. Dow had another great year, and the Wind Eagle is very talented kid. So it's going to be fun for him in his senior year, already getting D1 interest. Chippewa is included in that, so we'll see where he lands. But it's going to be fun come fall for our high school football teams too.
Yeah, and Wind Eagle, I mean, coming from Midland Dow, that he played, obviously Midland Dow played Mount Pleasant this year. I covered that game at Mount Pleasant Community Memorial Stadium. It was a great showing between the two quarterbacks, Xavier Crazier and Wind Eagle. Crazier for Mount Pleasant, Deagle for Midland Dow, like you just mentioned. And moving on to the Great Lakes Loons, who finished third last year in the Midwest League East. Your main job, 132-game season throughout the summer and early spring, and then I guess early fall as well. 9.5 games behind West Michigan, whether it being from Zaire Hope or Kendall George or all the top prospects that you got to see last year. What were some of the best moments from that season last year?
Yeah, I mean, well, to start, you know, you mentioned West Michigan. The Loons had a great season last year, but they didn't come close to West Michigan because they won 92 games somehow. They just had a great core of young guys that you're already seeing at the major league level, Kevin McGonigal now, and then a bunch of old guys for the level, really. So it was the perfect mix for the Tigers affiliate and why they took the league last year. But last year, yeah, like the outfield was always star-studded, and it's not just okay within the Dodger prospect ranks. These outfielders are some of the best outfield prospects in the game of baseball. Hope, DePaula, and then Kendall George. To have a 100 stolen base season that Kendall George had was just, you know, something else. You could talk how it's a little easier to steal bases now because you could read a pitcher with the pitch clock better and the disengagements, but he is unreal speed. And the pressure that he would put on defenses was just so much fun to watch. And the modern day, you know, era with the analytics and everything like that, it was fun to see a guy like George still have an impact where, hey, if you put the ball in play with his speed, put the pressure and the onus on the defense, they're going to mess up sometimes and you're going to take advantage of that. And then once he got on base, it was a guarantee. It felt like that he would get the second, depending on the pitcher's move, that he would get the third, and just manufacturing runs for a ball club, which is just still an underrated skill. And it's not valued, I know, as much as, all right, being able to power the ball out and exit velocity and everything like that. But there is still room for a guy like him in baseball. If you have exceptional speed and you can impact the game that way, you're going to make a difference. And George did. Hope was a great guy, you know, in terms of off the field and, you know, the build of an SEC running back, a great defender, and then the power hitter. And then DePaula is baby Yordan, right? Yordan Alvarez, the Houston Astros, like that's what the DePaula makeup is. He wasn't fully healthy through the season, but when he was great to watch.
Yeah, and you mentioned Zaire Hope, DePaula, Kendall George. I was just looking at the roster for the Loons, which dropped obviously last week when this will air, and I was looking at the roster for Tulsa. Most of the Loons, or if not all of the Loons from last year, are moving up to double-A ball. So I got to ask this question. Who are some of the young prospects that are going to be highlighted this summer in Midland?
Well, yeah, I mean, like some of the top names are in Tulsa, but this Loons group returns 16 players that have either played last season or that played in 2024. For Great Lakes, that's the most returners we've had in a season since 2023, you know, coming back from the year previous. So it is a lot of familiar names. Mike Sirota, Eduardo Quintero are, again, major outfield prospects. Like, that's what's fun about the Dodger system. You look through their top four prospects, which are DePaula, Hope, Sirota, and Quintero. They're all outfielders. And they're, you know, 1 through 4. And they were all on the roster at some point last year, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And we'll have Quintero and Sirota to kind of start this year, which will be a lot of fun because they're both really talented. Quintero is the youngest guy on the team at 20 years old. And then Sirota, 22-year-old, who was an original Cincinnati Reds draft pick, traded in the Gavin Lux deal to the Dodgers. And he soared through prospect lists last year because Sirota only played like 30 games at the Loons, but his OPS was over 1. He was just on an insane tear. And then got hurt, unfortunately. But for him, you know, when he was healthy, he was like the best player in minor league baseball with maybe, you know, Kevin McGonigal right there with him. So returning him is great. And then the pitching upside is fun. Some guys that returned from last year that logged a lot of innings, and then a first round pick of the Dodgers in 2025 in Zach Root. So that's going to be another name to look out for. But yeah, I'm high on this roster. It's a really talented opening day roster to start. Part of that is just the logjam that the Dodgers have at the outfield group, like Sirota and Quintero being in high A and not double A is kind of like there's no room upstairs for them. Not so much like, oh, they need another year at the level. The Loons benefit on that. And then the pitching is definitely, I think, a strong suit. And we'll see what happens. And of course, what's so fun is that you never know, just based on the fact they're going to be playing in the cold, you know, going forward here in the month of April.
We'll be right back with the voice of the Loons, John Vaccari, next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
Believe it or not, spring is upon us. With BRB Seed Services, you can plant early and with confidence knowing that your seed is backed by the best standard seed treatment in the industry and 100% free replant guarantee. Each hybrid in Beck's high-yielding lineup is selected for early seedling vigor, making it the perfect option for that first planted field this spring. If you have any in-season corn or soybean needs, we have a great supply of products still available. We sell Beck's hybrids because that's all we grow. They are American grown and American owned. Please contact BRB Seed Services at 989-621-1215. That's BRB Seed Services, 989-621-1215. God bless. Stay safe and make good choices, starting with us, BRB Seed Services in Shepherd, Michigan.
Ready for storage that's fast, easy, and hassle-free? Head to All Safe Storage in Mount Pleasant, where you can rent and access your unit in just 5 minutes online. Choose from brand new, clean units in multiple sizes, all at discounted rates. Plus, there's an exclusive CMU student discount. Every unit comes with a complimentary lock. So when you need a truck for your move, All Safe Storage has you covered too, with U-Haul Rentals. Stop in. Check them out online. West M20 Mount Pleasant. All Safe Storage. Lock it in fast. Store it in safe.
Mount Pleasant weather. Monday, we have a 60% chance of showers, but otherwise partly sunny with a high near 45, winds around 9 to 14 miles per hour. And into the night, we have a 60% chance of rain, but otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 21. Tuesday, sunny skies with a high near 39, winds around 6 miles per hour. And into the night, partly cloudy with a low around 25. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 54.
Buck 92.3, where country legends live.
You're back with the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, Central Michigan's award-winning sports coverage, with sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's get back to it.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. More with John Vaccari. Yeah, I was just going to mention that. I mean, most people should know about the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, they're a juggernaut team at the professional level. There's not very much room for all these prospects to kind of scoot their way up through the ranks and throughout the season as well. So it would be kind of interesting to see where these prospects kind of go throughout the season. But I got to ask, will we see the aforementioned DePaula, George, Hope, will we see any of those guys, Quintero, get up to the big league roster at some point this season?
Yeah, I mean, that's above my pay grade answer. They're going to be, you know, Hope and DePaula model right now as, I think, guaranteed major leaguers. It's just hard to guarantee a spot with how the Dodgers operate. You know, they've hung on to him. And I think, you know, there's DePaula, who's always in rumors every deadline. He's been in the last two where it's like, oh, the Dodgers going to, you know, trade away him and whatever. Because the Dodgers needed an outfielder last year. And they got Alex Call, who's still on their roster as kind of a depth outfield piece. And he filled the role he needed, really, to keep some bodies healthy in September for the October playoff push, and then the Dodgers winning their second straight championship. From that perspective, it's injury dependent, kind of, but there's not a lot of room right now when you're looking at the Dodgers outfield, so it's kind of hard. But like DePaula definitely, you know, models a major league role. Hope projects to that as well. And then George, you know, there's got to be a spot for him, whether it's, you know, the Dodgers or not. Like, that speed is just so much of a game changer that he's going to find his way onto a major league roster at some point. Quintero won't. Quintero's 20 years old. He's too young. But could he finish the year in AAA given his talent? Absolutely. Yeah, Quintero would be a no for at least this year because of the, you know, just of the youth. But he's an exceptional talent, and we're very fortunate to have him. We only had him for about, you know, 20 or so games last year, and he hit all his homers. He had 5 homers in that span, but he hit them all on the road, and we played a lot of road games at the end of the year. So hardened Loons fans are familiar with them, but a lot of our fans maybe aren't. And they're going to be well acquainted because he's on the opening day roster and he's going to be making an impact.
Yeah, and hopefully Quintero and Sirota can kind of help and propel the Loons to maybe a playoff spot. And speaking of playoffs, to fast forward to the end of the season, if the Loons can clinch up a playoff spot, I know at the high A level, it's different than the big league level for playoffs seeding and point wise. Can you kind of explain how the high A level of playoff baseball works and how you clinch different spots in the playoffs?
Yeah, I like the format because it incentivizes the first and second half, because the first half roster and the second half roster, there's differences depending on how the organization decides to move players through the year. So I think it's unfair to kind of be like, okay, end of the season, whatever is the best record. No, it's two different rosters that kind of go head to head. And it's fun because it's like, all right, that first half team that wins it, are they still strong enough to take on a team that was better in the second half and maybe lost some of their prospects? Like, I think it is a perfect model. And how it works is 66 game halves, and each division, whoever's in first, wins. What's interesting for the Loons last year was they won 72 games, 72-58, which is a great season. But West Michigan won 92 games and Lake County won 74. And Lake County was able to outlast Great Lakes in the final series of the year to get the second half playoff spot. And West Michigan, the first half. Now, West Michigan won both halves. That's how dominant they were. But Lake County was in second in the second half, and that's what got them the playoff spot. And West Michigan would sweep them on their way to a Midwest League championship game. It's two halves, which makes it fun for us, especially, all right, April baseball. You know, you watch the Tigers and you want them to do good, but, you know, it's not make or break. It's a playoff chase right away. It's mid-June that gets, you know, a playoff spot or not. So the baseball is impactful from the jump. You're in a playoff chase in June, in early June and late May, and then in August and September. And it kind of takes away the dog day mentality that, you know, kind of hinders the Major League Baseball season just because it's so long at some points where there's just some August dog days in there that really doesn't present itself at the minor league level because of the two halves. So the Loons just have to finish in first in either the first half or the second half, ideally in both halves, but all they got to do is finish first place in their division in one of the two halves.
Yeah, and in that previous answer, you mentioned April baseball starting out strong for the Loons. This is more of a question kind of for the fans. 3 games in already, Easter weekend, we had a bunch of promotions at the Dow Diamond. As the season goes on throughout the summer, what are kind of some promotions that fans can look forward to at Dow Diamond?
Sure. I mean, the full promotions, because I'm not going to hit everything, there's no chance. But the promotional schedule you could find, loons.com, and then schedule and promotions is one of the tabs on the website. So you could go there and you know, look at it there. But I'm looking forward to a couple big nights. Star Wars night that is in June, Father's Day weekend. So Father's Day on Sunday, June 21st, Star Wars night on June 20th. And then Margaritaville night that week as well, June 18th on a Thursday, because it's usually been like a May thing. And we haven't got great weather. So we're putting it to June and hoping that, you know, margarita drinking weather, if you know what I'm saying. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Pontooners on Friday, July 10th, Pontooners weekend, July 10th to the 12th. And then the Michigan Dogmen, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's a new identity. There's been a lot of discussion around it. We kind of teased it during the offseason with some great promotional videos led by our production crew, Jimmy Mativa, Carlos Garcia, who did a great job as well, and Matt DeVries, who kind of heads up the unit. The Dogmen is going to be this, you know, we transform to them on August 1st, which is a Saturday. And if we know anything about that campfire story, that folklore in Northern Michigan, it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be very spooky, you know, very scared. So Shattuck, make sure you're prepared for that if you're going to be in the ballpark. But it's going to be a whole new identity, new merch. And I like the logo. I think it's really, really sharp. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we'll have a wrestling night in August as well. Let's see the official title is Wrestle Loon Mania. And it's going to have Mick Foley, which is, for wrestling fans, really cool. The VIP experience for that's already sold out. It's months away, and it's been sold out for a couple weeks now. So if you want to see Nick and Dow Diamond kind of transform into a wrestling environment, that's going to be a lot of fun on August 15th.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun-packed summer at Dow Diamond. I do have to ask, for that wrestling event, are we going to see you and Brad Tunney kind of duel it out on the broadcast that night?
Dueling out on the broadcast, that kind of just sometimes happens organically. But, you know, Brad is not the biggest wrestling fan, and I think I'm just going to have to annoy him the whole night and basically try and get him to watch or to do something with wrestling. But, yeah, he's going to be the bad guy that night. I'm going to be the good guy, which I guess is kind of every night, but especially on that night because he'll be Mr. Anti. Wrestling and I'll be pro it.
So are you a big wrestling fan, John?
I am, yeah. I can't say I watch, you know, weekly. I just don't have the time, especially during the season, but I'll watch the pay-per-views. We'll have, you know, Mania coming up in mid-April, and we'll have afternoon games, luckily, Saturday and Sunday, so then we can watch. But the whole marketing and promotions team are really big wrestling fans. Like, if you think we do a good job, and I think we do, but if you think we do a good job with Star Wars and, you know, we have Paw Patrol this year, if you think we do a really good job with our theme nights, this one is an even more of a passion project for our staff. So it's going to be even to a higher degree, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a huge wrestling fan as well. So I might have to come over for that game.
Please do, dude. Absolutely. Yeah. And for the VIP experience, I don't know. Again, I think it's completely sold out, but Ben Bosher and myself are going to do like a Q&A with Mick Foley. And yeah, the whole night's going to have just, you know, like wrestling in between inning games, wrestling themed. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
That sounds like a blast. I'm going to have to check into that and come on over and watch.
John, we really appreciate your time coming on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. We really appreciate the insight you gave on not only the Loons, but your college career, your career jumping from baseball team to baseball team and now finding a home at Dow Diamond. And we're looking forward to another great season on the Diamond at Dow Diamond and hearing your voice on 100.9 The Mitt. John, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate you guys for having me on. And people coming to Loons games this year, definitely come up to the press box, come up and say hi if you see me on the concourse. Would love to talk baseball or anything else with you. And I do love working here. You know, it's my fourth season for a reason. I'm treated well, and it's a fun time here in the Great Lakes Bay.
John, thanks a lot. And I'll definitely get over there and introduce myself to you. And we'll just have a great time watching some baseball.
Let's go. Absolutely.
Go Loons.
Go Loons.
You've been listening to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, your award-winning home for Central Michigan sports coverage. Thanks for joining JW and Sports Director Austin Shattuck as we break down the games, the players, and the stories that make local sports special.
Missed part of the show? No problem. You can listen to this show and past shows at MyMichiganPodcast.com. Just click on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Join us every Monday evening at 7 right here on Buck 92.3, where country legends live. And streaming worldwide at buck92.com for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.